Good afternoon, 4:30 and 25 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
I want to get all my ducks in a row to plan that because I actually want to have some subcommittees put together that people would like to serve on.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore says he's planning a business summit in the city this spring.
A Grayson man may be charged in a possible drug overdose death in Carter County.
And a woman has died in a two-vehicle accident in Louisa today.
In sports, there's a basketball doubleheader at Moorhead State's AAC tonight.
Bud Luke has the business news.
Cold with snow likely tonight, lows in the mid-teens. The complete forecast after this news.
Because of the inclement weather that we are expecting this evening and possibly tomorrow morning as well, a number of schools in our area have already called off classes for tomorrow, and Ashley has the list.
List of schools closed tomorrow in eastern Kentucky include the counties of Bath, Breathitt, Jackson, Johnson, Leslie, McGoffin, Martin, Morgan, Pike, and Wolf counties.
And we'll update that list at about 4:45 and at the end of this newscast as well. WSAZ is reporting that a Grayson man may be charged in the drug-related death of another Grayson resident. 42-year-old John Blevins is held in the Carter County Detention Center after being arrested at his home today. Carter Sheriff Jeff May says Blevins and David Miller, who is also 42 years old, were involved in a heroin exchange. Miller is believed to have died from a heroin overdose. At the moment, Blevins is charged with multiple felony drug offenses and a fugitive from justice warrant.
A two-vehicle accident in Louisa has taken the life of a Lawrence County woman. WOWK is reporting that city police have not yet identified the victim, but say that she was 53 years old. Initial indications are that her car collided with an SUV today on State Route 3.
A Rowan County man has been arrested on charges of kidnapping and raping a woman. WKYT reports the woman and her fiancé went to a bar in Moorhead on December 30th. She reportedly left intoxicated and fell asleep on the couch after being taken home by her fiancé, but woke up in Elliott County with 25-year-old Carson Carter. The woman says she doesn't remember how she ended up in Elliott County or why she was with Carter. Police say Carter admitted he entered the woman's home uninvited, raped her, and took her to Elliott County. He is facing charges of second-degree rape, kidnapping, and second-degree burglary.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore says he'll convene a summit of the city's business leaders this spring. He says he's already laying the groundwork for it.
I had one back in 08, actually had in the spring the last year I was mayor, and we had over 70 business owners came to that. They were very excited because I was going to make them inclusive in plans and not waiting to see what we do to you, but use them in the process of what we can do for you. And I've already talked to a lot of business owners, very excited about it.
Gilmore is hoping the group can work to expand existing businesses, encourage new shops to locate in the city, and better market the whole community.
Ashland's new city commission was sworn into office today, and one of its first actions was to select a mayor pro tem. The panel chose newly elected Matt Perkins to fill that role.
Obviously, I'm honored that the commission all voted for me to fill in if Steve is out, but I'm just excited about the collegial atmosphere we already have. We're all focused on the same things, a bigger, better, and brighter Ashland, and we're going to work hard. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Perkins says bringing new businesses to Ashland is at the top of that priority list.
A $600,000 renovation project to make the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center in Ashland compliant with the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act begins Monday. That's according to the director of the Winchester Avenue facility, Carol Allen.
We're going to have our cracked doors replaced, and we'll make one door a showroom door so that we can get large exhibits in and start doing some really great exhibits on our main floor. And we'll have bathrooms, new bathrooms on the three floors that we're using, as well as a new kitchen and an elevator.
The work is made possible through a state grant and donation from the Woodlands Foundation, and Allen says the project should take about 3 months, and it will not require a closing of the Highlands at any time.
With the results of a summer survey of local residents now tabulated, the Morehead-Rowan County Recreation Committee is moving into the next phase of its effort to draw up a plan to meet the area's future recreational needs. City Parks and Recreation Director David Morris is a member of that panel. According to Morris, the group has been looking at available properties, possible programs, and ways to pay for those things.
Ultimately, we're going to come back to the citizens in terms of a public forum and come back to our city and county officials again and try to present a plan for what exactly is needed, and it's going to ultimately fall on their laps in terms of funding.
Morris expects those public forums to be scheduled in the coming weeks.
Rowan County has filled a hole in its personnel roster. With Solid Waste Coordinator Bob Wells retiring, the fiscal court recently hired 29-year-old Tyler Brown to be the county's new Environment Services Office Manager. In addition to taking on Wells' former duties, Judge Executive Walter Blevins says Brown will also handle some tax collections.
We're going to try to make sure that people are paying their payroll tax. The city does a pretty good job of that, and because they're right there in their face. You know, if they're building something in the city, everybody kind of can see that's happening. But in the county, a large county like we've got, and lots of different county roads, it's hard to sometimes see, you know, where the growth is, where the buildings are occurring.
Rowan County will pay Brown $31,000 a year. He was given the job over a dozen other applicants.
Saving Maysville's recycling program may be difficult. That is the opinion of Mayor David Cartmell. With the program losing $18,000 to $20,000 a year, the City Commission voted to suspend it in November, but just weeks later decided to give it a six-month reprieve to get things turned around. Cartmell says the Commission wants the recycling program's participation rate doubled from its current rate of 10%.
It's been going down every year, and we're just going to make a push. It's a do or die thing for us. It's been all pain and no gain, and so we're going to try to get more people interested, which in turn actually means that we actually lose a little bit more money.
And that could become the deciding factor in the end for Maysville's recycling program. Cartmell is hoping to find ways to partner with Mason County to help reduce the expense of local recycling.
Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr says one of the failures of the Affordable Care Act is that it has not reduced medical costs by eliminating frivolous lawsuits against doctors and hospitals. The Lexington Republican is part of a GOP study group that has been working on a replacement for the ACA. Barr says it's called the American Health Care Reform Act, and changes in malpractice law are a big part of it.
Much of the healthcare inflation that we've been seeing both before and since enactment of Obamacare is attributable to the litigation lottery environment and the failure of Obamacare to address the problems in the tort system, I think, is one of the core problems of Obamacare.
Barr spoke at a press conference in Washington on Wednesday.
Kentucky's junior senator voted against a resolution Wednesday to repeal the Affordable Care Act because he says it adds nearly $10 trillion to the federal debt. Republican Rand Paul says he supports gutting the law, often referred to as Obamacare, but not by borrowing more money. Paul says it's exactly the wrong thing for his party to be doing right now.
We've had an election. The conservative party, the supposedly conservative party won. Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And the first item of business for the Republicans will be to pass a budget that never balances. A budget that will add $9.7 trillion to the debt over 10 years.
Paul says Republicans complained when President Obama doubled the national debt, and now they're adding to it.
U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell says he hopes the Senate confirms most, if not all, of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet selections, just as the nation's 45th chief executive is sworn into office January 20th. The Kentucky Republican says the Senate was able to do that for President Obama 8 years ago.
We confirmed a number on Inauguration Day itself. We hope to be in a position to do that once again. And we're also going to process the waiver for Secretary of Defense designee Mattis.
McConnell is referring to the congressional waiver required for retired Marine Corps General James Mattis to be Secretary of Defense. The move is necessary because Mattis only recently left the military.
A Democratic lawmaker in Kentucky has filed a bill to ban transgender bathroom use in public buildings. The bill filed by State Representative Rick Nelson would require bathrooms in public buildings only be used by persons based on their biological sex. He also filed a bill aimed at protecting a person's right of conscience. LGBT advocates feared such bills would be filed now that Republicans control the state legislature, but Republicans have downplayed those issues in recent weeks, saying they want to focus on economic concerns. Nelson told the Courier-Journal he wants to make sure the bills are filed in case the other side decides not to do them. Chris Hartman, director of the Fairness Campaign, says both bills would cost the state millions of dollars if they become law.
Legislation to reshape the University of Louisville's governing body remains in flux after a House panel adjourned without taking up the measure. The House State Government Committee was scheduled to consider the bill Wednesday, but Committee Chairman Jerry Miller said work on the measure is ongoing and the Republican-led panel wasn't ready to take up the issue. Democratic Representative Jim Wayne of Louisville later said it shows Republicans don't have their act together on an issue that's been festering for months. The issue surfaced last year when Governor Matt Bevin abolished and replaced U of L's Board of Trustees. That prompted the school's accrediting body to put it on probation for a year, citing concerns over possible undue political influence. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Winter weather advisory in effect until 8 a.m. on Friday morning. Tonight's weather will be cold with snow in the evening, chance of snow near 100% with a total accumulation of 1 to 3 inches, lows in the mid-teens. Friday, mostly cloudy with highs in the lower 30s. Friday night, cold and mostly cloudy, lows dropping to about 5 degrees above zero. Saturday, sunny, highs around 20. Saturday night, cold and mostly clear, with lows around 5 to 10 above. Sunday, sunny, with highs around 20 degrees. Sunday night, cold and mostly clear, lows around 10 above zero. And Monday will be partly sunny, highs in the mid-30s. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it's going to be 28 degrees in Ashland right now, 24 in Flemingsburg, 28 in Inez. Lexington is sitting at 24 degrees, as is Winchester, and it is currently 25 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. The list of schools closed tomorrow include the counties of Bath, Breathitt, Jackson, Johnson, Leslie, McGoffin, Martin, Morgan, Pike, and Wolf counties.
And we will update that list one final time during Mountain Edition at about 4:58. This afternoon. It is 4:44. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, a community in Letcher County has completed a mural on a train trestle as part of a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
Brushstroke by brushstroke, a huge mural has come to life in one small Kentucky town. An example, says the project's main artist, of how community-created art could help revitalize a place. Lucy Hale says the mural on the railroad trestle in Jenkins illustrates how art can stir a community's pride in its past and hope for its future.
just something for people to be proud of, to say I worked on, you know, it touched on the history and symbolically toward the future of the town.
Hale says the project began with community design meetings last summer and took 6 months to complete. She says dozens of people, from school children to senior citizens, helped paint the 10 by 45 foot mural.
We had over 60 people that worked on it, and the age range was from 7 to, I believe, 84.
The project is one element of an Our Town grant to Apple Shop from the National Endowment for the Arts. Photo banners have been placed throughout Jenkins, and another mural is planned for this spring. An historical walking and driving tour also is in the works. Like many rural towns in Kentucky, Jenkins is searching for ways to revitalize its economy, and Hale says immersing a community's citizens in projects like these illustrate the contribution art can make.
People stop and ask questions and talk about it. You know, that's one of the keys of, like, switching the way people think about the arts and moving into more of an appreciation.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon from All Things Considered right here on Morehead State Public Radio. And Chuck has his check of sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books, open Monday through Saturday.
A double dose of Eagle
on Facebook,
hoops.
Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz reporting. Morehead State's basketball teams have an OVC doubleheader at Johnson Arena tonight. The women's game will tip off at 5:30. At 12-3 overall and 1-0 in conference, the Eagles will be bidding for their 8th straight victory. However, Coach Greg Todd is not expecting MSU to have an easy time of it with the Panthers.
Definitely. Of course, Eastern Illinois' winners against Jacksonville State, who's having a great year, who played pretty competitive here at UT Martin Thursday. So never gets easy.
EIU is 5-9, and as Todd noted, 0-1 in the OVC. The Morehead State men take the floor for their game with Eastern Illinois at 7:45. The Eagles will be looking to start a 4-game homestand on a high note. But interim coach Preston Spratlin thinks MSU will have a battle on its hands against the Panthers.
Eastern Illinois is playing terrific right now. They've got some really good wins. They won at Missouri a few weeks ago. They had their chances to win at a very good Indiana State team. And they're going to come in hungry as well, coming off an OVC loss as well. And so we got to come ready to play.
Well, both teams are winless after one conference game. MSU is 4-10 overall. Eastern Illinois is 8-6. Six games are on the men's top 25 college basketball schedule this evening, with number 4 UCLA leading the way. The 14-1 Bruins are at home tonight to face the Cal Bears. The only other top 10 game has number 5 Gonzaga visiting San Francisco. Austin Peay coach Dave Luce is taking a leave of absence to continue chemotherapy for a cancerous lymph node. School officials say it's unclear how long Luce will be away. Assistant coach Jay Bowen will take over in Luce's absence, starting with tonight's game at Tennessee Tech. Luce has been undergoing chemotherapy since the late summer, when he had surgery in July to remove a malignant tumor from his colon. A growth on a lymph node was discovered. Luce's record at Austin Peay in 27 seasons is 414-403. Even though the 2017 season is yet to start, the Morehead State baseball team is already looking ahead to next year. It signed 7 players for 2018. The list includes pitchers John Bakke of Alabama, Will Lozenak of Pennsylvania, T.J. Satterley of Louisville, and John Sherman of Ohio, along with outfielder Ben Harris of New Jersey, infielder Bryce Henser of Pennsylvania, and utility man Matt Kirk of Ohio. Coach Mike McGuire expects all 7 players to step in and compete for jobs right away.
Yeah, that's one of the things for kids is, you know, to have an opportunity to step in and compete for playing time right away. And you know, we're pretty honest with them, and we want them to step in and play right away. If they're not contributing right away as freshmen, we're disappointed a little bit.
The MSU baseball team's 2017 season starts February 17th at Jackson State. The Cincinnati Reds signing this week of veteran reliever Drew Storen may be a sign of things to come. RedsMLB.com reporter Mark Sheldon thinks team president of baseball operations and general manager Dick Williams will become more active in the coming weeks in trying to add more talent to the club's roster.
Dick Williams hasn't ruled out making other bullpen additions. He said he would keep looking around, and they weren't, you know, done. They would stay busy. There's still some time left in the offseason. I think they wouldn't mind having a veteran catcher with some experience that could be there in case Mesoraco shows that he's not ready yet. They also could use a starting pitcher to join those young guys I previously mentioned and add some competition to the rotation. They also need some bench help.
The Reds pitchers and catchers begin reporting to the team's spring training home in Goodyear, Arizona, February 13th. The preparations for college football's national championship game continue. Top-ranked Alabama will meet number 2 Clemson Monday night in Tampa, Florida. The defending champs, the Crimson Tide, will head into the game riding a 26-game winning streak. Tigers coach Dabo Swinney says Bama's track record speaks for itself.
They're the standard. I mean, they're as complete a team as you're ever going to see on tape. They just don't make any mistakes. They don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. Just put a lot of pressure on their opponents.
Alabama beat Clemson 45-40 in last year's national title game. Despite a 6-9-1 finish to 2016, Coach Marvin Lewis says the season was not a total loss for Cincinnati Bengals. According to Lewis, the campaign meant something important for the Bengals' younger players as the team points toward the 2017 campaign.
I think it's the opportunity that these guys and the experience they gained this season. We got to gain something out of this season, and that's part of it. You know, those are the positives that have come out of this season, as the fact that these young players have got an opportunity to get and play NFL football when it meant something.
Lewis, meanwhile, may need for the Bengals to have a meaningful 2017. He's heading into the final year of his contract. Miami Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill has been ruled out of Sunday's AFC playoff game at Pittsburgh, and backup Matt Moore will start for a fourth week in a row. The Dolphins determined Tannehill is not ready to return from a sprained left knee that he suffered in Week 14. Moore, a 10th-year pro, is 2-1 as Tannehill's replacement and will make his first career postseason start. And the longest winning streak in the history of the NHL is 17 games, as set by the 1992-93 Pittsburgh Penguins. Tonight in Washington, the Columbus Blue Jackets can equal that mark with a win over the homestanding Capitals. Since losing 4 of their first 6 games this season, the Blue Jackets have gone 25-2-3. And that's a look at sports. Have a great evening. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chuck Mraz reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Illinois tonight. The women play at 5:30 and the men's contest is at 7:45. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower as uncertainty over some of President-elect Donald Trump's policies gave investors pause despite solid economic data. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 42.87 at 19,899.29. The S&P 500 was down 1.75 at 22.69. The NASDAQ Composite was up 10.93, finishing at a record high close of 5487.94. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And, of course, during his campaign, Trump called for an overhaul of the North American Free Trade Agreement and has repeatedly said he will construct a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. And Trump has also called out companies for sending jobs out of the U.S. into other countries. And the uncertainty around these different possible policies starting to impact investors somewhat in the new year. Financials were your weakest performer today in the S&P 500 as they fell about 1%. And, of course, interest rates were down sharply today, and that contributed to the weakness in bank stocks in particular. Also, ADP said private employers added 153,000 jobs last month, and this was considerably below the expected figure of 170,000. Meanwhile, weekly jobless claims came in at 235,000, which was below consensus estimates of 260,000. And, of course, tomorrow at 8:30, the U.S. Non-Farm Payrolls report for the month of December will be released. And economists are expecting that the U.S. economy added roughly 180,000 jobs last month. As mentioned, interest rates were down today. U.S. Treasury bond prices spiked upward, with the benchmark 10-year note yield falling to 2.366%, while the short-term 2-year note yield slipped to just under 1.18% as traders and investors continued to digest the minutes from the Federal Reserve's December meeting. And, of course, those minutes were released yesterday afternoon, and they showed the central bank is concerned that fiscal stimulus could lead to rates rising at a faster pace. Among Dow industrial stocks today, the best performers were Visa and Johnson & Johnson, and your worst performers were Travelers and American Express. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Alexion Pharmaceuticals and Mattel, and the worst performers were Kohl's and Macy's. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 46 cents at 111.43, CSX up 36 cents at 36.99, AK Steel down 23 cents at 10.88, Marathon Petroleum down 19 cents at 51.05, AEP up 34 cents at 63.19, and Anthem was up $1.53 to finish at 144.58. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Winter weather advisory in effect until 8 a.m. tomorrow. Tonight, cold. Chance of snow near 100% with total snow accumulation 1 to 3 inches. Lows in the mid-teens. Friday, mostly cloudy with highs in the lower 30s. Friday night, cold and mostly cloudy. Lows dropping to about 5 degrees above zero. Saturday will be sunny with highs around 20 degrees, and that night will be cold and mostly clear, lows dropping to anywhere from 5 to 10 above. Sunday, sunny with highs around 20 degrees. Sunday night, cold and mostly clear, lows around 10 above. And Monday will be partly sunny with highs in the mid-30s. Taking a look at the temperatures for the listening area, it is currently 28 degrees in Ashland, 24 degrees in Flemingsburg. Inez is sitting at 28 degrees. It is 24 degrees in both Lexington and Winchester, and it is currently 25 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University. The updated school closing list for tomorrow include the counties of Bath, Breathitt, Jackson, Johnson, Lee County, Leslie County, McGoffin, Martin, Morgan County, Pike County, and Wolf County.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Samantha Morrill, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All things considered, is next. It's 5 o'clock.